Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Friday! It is September 19th, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on X@G_Kuhn71. Alongside me, as always, the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show, that would be Connor Dunning, on X@C_Dunning99. Connor, how's it going, brother?
What's up, man? I'm fired up!
Week 4 Eve, Memphis, Arkansas Eve. We're going to have a heavy dose of college football, and we'll get to some NFL as well throughout the show. But we have 3 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN and yours truly. We're going to open here, talk a little Thursday night football, get to some of the matchups we're going to see in college football week 4. There's an announcement by Ole Miss. It looks like Trinidad Chambliss is going to go. I wonder how much that affects that Tulane game. I have a take on it, so make sure you stick around for that. But then we'll get a temperature check between me and Connor on the Memphis-Arkansas game. How do we feel? We're going to talk about that. But then at 4:30, we're going to give you out there, our listeners, a chance to tune in and call in at about 4:30. Like I said, a temperature check on this game. You could be a Hog fan, you could be a Tiger fan, whatever it is. You'll call in 901-445-0929 and let us know how you feel going into tomorrow's game, 11 a.m. ABC, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, Memphis versus Arkansas. As far as guests are concerned, though, normal Friday for the most part. No Parker Fleming. I'll get to that in a second. But 5 o'clock, David Cobble joined the show from CBS Sports. We'll talk about college football week 4 and what we should look forward to. And week 5 actually has some good matchups, so we'll preview those as well. 5:30, Lee Sterling will join for some picks. We'll make you some money there. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports. And then 6 o'clock to talk Memphis, Arkansas. We got to get the Arkansas side of things. John Neighbors will join the show. He's the owner of Inside Arkansas. Also, he is a host of the Locked On Razorbacks podcast for the Locked On Network. So he'll tell us about the Arkansas side of things. Talen Green, how much has he grown? I need to ask him the question. If you are advising a defensive coordinator how to deal with Talen Green, what does that look like? Because I don't think there's any good answers I've gotten this week from anybody. And Ryan himself yesterday didn't really have much of an answer for me on that. But we will ask John that question as well. Blitz will be at 6:30. But that is the show for you. All right, Thursday night football last night. I guess the Dolphins haven't fully quit, Connor. That's my take. They haven't fully quit. 31-21, they stuck in there.
They fought.
They fought. It was ugly, to be completely honest.
It was very
with
ugly. But they fought, and Tyreek Hill got a touchdown. That's the most. That's the thing
that's
that matters
most. That's the most important thing.
Most important
you.
Thing is I'm playing George this week.
Yeah, so that game was ugly in general, though.
Yes, it was.
When you go back and look, Josh Allen and Tua combined to average 1.5 air yards per completion. That's the lowest mark in a game in the next-gen stats by the NFL's era since 2016. Allen attempted only one pass over 10 air yards. Tua completed as many passes behind the line of scrimmage as past it. So he completed 22 passes. 11 of them were behind the line of scrimmage. So it was just kind of an ugly game. I think both defenses were trying to keep everything in front of them, everything bottled up. There was still a fair amount of scoring. It got to the over, but ultimately the game was ended by a Tua Tagovailoa interception. And it was, I know I've seen some people on the timeline trying to give him some grace, saying it was a stick route, it was his first read, that's where the ball needs to go. But I was watching it live, and I saw the linebacker breaking, and I said, no Tua, no Tua, no Tua, and here comes the linebacker right across making the pick, and sealing the game up for the Bills. It was a really bad pick there at the end of the game for Tua Tagovailoa, and that completely ended the Dolphins' chances.
Where do the Dolphins go from here? And I have two questions. Where do the Dolphins go from here? And did they fight enough to save their coach's job for at least another week?
Sure, another week. If they lose to the Jets,
that's why yesterday I said the Jets game. If they lose that game,
yeah, I think it's over.
That feels like the one where they would not make it back to the team.
They have two games in a row where I think it could end. You have Jets and then at Panthers the next 2 weeks. I think if you have a loss in either of those games,
yeah, if you're not 2-3,
you're probably looking at Mike McDaniel being out of a job. But I thought he schemed up well enough last night. There's some situational things and some clock management things that I always have an issue with Mike McDaniel. But I thought he did a fine job of scheming up and sticking in a game that I thought he had no business being in the end of the day. They ended up covering. I know that's doesn't matter. You lost by 10. But at the same time, I saw his team fight for him for the first time this year, in my opinion. I had not seen that level of fight against that type of competition. And I don't think Mike McDaniel is going to be the coach of the Dolphins by this time next year. I do not believe that. But at the same time, it still feels like there's some semblance of, hey, we can win a few ball games this year.
It was such an odd game to see because it felt like the Bills just didn't have their foot on the gas the entire game because they kind of assumed that by the end they'd be able to win it no matter what, and then they walked away with the 10-point win. But it was not even close to their best game played. I think that James Cook was very good last night, but outside of him, it just felt like the rest of the team kind of took the night off in a way.
Well, I think part of that's the Dolphins and the style of defense they were playing last night. They weren't going to let Josh Allen beat them deep. And they also were not going to let Josh Allen kill them with their legs. So really what the game plan boiled down to for the Bills is let's feed James Cook, let's take our checkdowns, let's get some easy throws, and move the ball that way. It was just sometimes games call for an ugly style of football, and I just thought that's what
it was.
The Bills
you know
did
what
last
it was?
Night.
It was an Eagles type of win.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was just to me a workmanlike win.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Like I think if you're going to be a team like the Bills that we consider a Super Bowl favorite, a Super Bowl contender, you have to win some games like that against what you view as inferior competition every once
in a while. I was just surprised because just a few weeks ago, we watched the Bills put 41 on the Ravens, and it seemed like they were struggling against the Dolphins' defense at least through three quarters. So it was an odd game to watch because I think most people, us included, were expecting kind of a Bills blowout, and it's just not what happened. We got a better game than expected, so that was fun from a viewer standpoint, but it did feel like in that fourth quarter they may have figured a few things out, and then they were like, okay, we're going to put them to bed now, because they were just kind of playing with their food the entire game. But I did think that on the Dolphins side, it was one of those where, moral victory, I guess, but it's just, yeah, this team is not very good. They're just not very good.
I think
good.
It's a little too late for Mike McDaniel to have moral victories.
Oh, I'm
but
talking
I,
about
I did kind of
the
view
fan base.
For me,
not for Mike
me,
McDaniel.
That's
he's,
how I
he's
viewed
dead
it.
In the water.
That's
yeah.
how I viewed it, where it's like, okay, you had a 7-point game you were driving down to tie the ball game with 4 minutes to go. Like, I did not expect the Dolphins to be in that situation. So you almost sit there as a fan watching the game, watching the NFL, you just tip the cap. Oh, you were in the game. Good for you. Didn't think that was possible.
What's the Tua deal? Like, how do we discuss Tua when it comes to quarterbacks, the tier he is in? Is the best of Tua behind him? Because it's beginning to feel like it is.
Yeah.
Or it was.
Listen, it's a timing-based offense, and he's a guy who can't really see over his offensive line, doesn't have a big arm. So, like, even his best performances, I don't even think he cracked. I mean, he's barely a top 15 quarterback. Honestly, I'd put him outside of that in most weeks that I've seen lately. But it's just, I think the more we watch Tua, obviously injuries have played a part in his career very heavily, the head injuries. But the more we watch Tua, the more we see his physical limitations needed to be discussed a whole lot more with him coming into the league than they have been. He's just got physical limitations that he can't get over against good teams. And that's the problem I think we see with Tua Tagovailoa.
I think Tua was heading toward a very good career, and then that season where he had concussion after concussion, and we were having conversations about whether or not he needs to stop playing football altogether. He's just never been able to get back to that level. And you can tell that those have had such a massive impact on his ability to play football. And it's he just looks like a completely different quarterback out there from a confidence standpoint.
Yeah, for sure. But again, like, he's just got these limitations where you're playing in this timing-based offense, and if there's a defensive coordinator worth their salt, they know where you're going to try to force the ball to. They know where you're going to try to place the ball. So they're telling their defense where to be and how to play those route concepts. And I just think it's caught up to him over the years, even more so than the injuries. I just think he has physical limitations that at this point I don't think he's ever going to get over and be a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League, even though for a time it did look like he could potentially be that. And here's the other part of it that we have to take into consideration with Tua Tagovailoa. When he played his best ball and what he has on his roster now, he does have probably – a top 3-1-2 punch at wide receiver in the National, top five. Jaylen Waddle hasn't been quite what he should be. He's been injured in and out of the lineup. But Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, like, you'd be hard-pressed to find a bunch of wide receiver cores that are better than that. So I think he's been lifted up a lot by his supporting cast in the past. And Tyreek Hill's aging, Jaylen Waddle's been hurt. They're not able to lift him up the way that they once were.
I mean, I did see a tweet last night, and I tried to find it, and I can't find it right now, but the wide receivers that Tua has had in his career dating back to Alabama through Miami.
It's nuts.
It's insane.
It's nuts. He's always been blessed.
And because somebody pointed out, like, you can't just throw the ball to Tyreek and he takes it 60 yards now. Like, that's just not how it's going to work. Jaylen Waddle's not going to do that for you anymore,
it's
man.
Absolutely.
Devontae Smith ain't there anymore.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. And in college, it was – who was it? It was Ruggs. It was – did he have DeMonte Smith? I mean, he had dudes. He had dudes. Jerry Jeudy, I think, was there with him as well. I mean, he had guys.
Was he really?
He had guys. That was one of the best wide receiver cores that we probably will ever see in college football.
Do you want to see something that hasn't aged well?
What?
So the 2020 QB draft class – very good draft class. Great draft class, to be honest. Here are the picks. 1-1, of course, was Joe Burrow. 1-5, Tua. 1-6, Herbert. 1-26, Jordan Love. And 2-53 was Jalen Hurts. You have the worst one in that group.
Yeah, but like I can't go full bust. I can't call him
No. Because I think he falls into the injury.
I saw the vision, and it kind of worked out for a while. It's just not working out now. But you would love to have Justin Herbert. You would love to have Jordan Love. You'd love to have Jalen Hurts. I will say this, though. I think we assume too often when it comes to quarterback draft classes, okay, if Justin Herbert was on the Dolphins, they'd be a whole lot better. And I agree with that for the most part. He's got more physical attributes. He can execute different things. He's got a big arm, but he can execute different things, better things, than Tua Tagovailoa. But, like, who's guaranteeing that if Justin Herbert was a part of that organization that he'd develop the way he has? You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem I always have with, you know, looking back at redrafts and drafts in general. Because I don't necessarily – like, if Jaden Daniels last year ended up with the Bears instead of the Commanders and not with Cliff Kingsbury and had to deal with Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus his rookie year, do you have any – do you think in any way, shape, or form he would be the same player that we think he is today? And likewise, if Caleb Williams ended up with the Commanders and Cliff Kingsbury, who he worked with at USC – do you think we view him the way we do right now that he's in a Bears uniform? I just feel like I think it would be better if they drafted Justin Herbert, no question about it. But, like, I just think there's no guarantee based on organization and development that some of these picks, had you flipped them around, would have gone as well as they did. Just like with Patrick Mahomes, if he never ends up with Andy Reid and the Chiefs, is he the same quarterback that we talk about today? I think it's so much about situation.
I've seen a lot of people today discuss that Tua and Mike McDaniel are just a bad pairing because Tua doesn't have the arm strength to be able to run the offense that he wants to run.
What's unfortunate is I don't think there's any other coach that really – runs the type of system that Tua could thrive in. Tua has to be in a timing-based passing offense. He has to be, because he cannot see over the line and make all these reads post-snap. He's got to be able to get the ball out of his hand quickly. He doesn't have that much mobility, and he doesn't have a crazy arm. It's just accurate. So it's got to be timing-based, and I think Mike McDaniel's done a good job for him in that realm up to this point. So I don't know if that's a fair criticism. I feel like this is one of the only offenses that Tua could thrive in the end of the day, especially considering his wide receivers.
Speaking of wide receivers, do you think that the Dolphins are going to trade Tyreek Hill at some point this season?
I think they should at some point by the trade deadline. Well, why would you hold on to him? If someone wants to take him off your hands and you can get some draft capital in return, do it. You're not making the playoffs. You're not a good team. And you shouldn't have any visions that you're a good team. So I honestly would look into trading a lot of guys on that team. A Bradley Chubb at defensive end. A Jalen Phillips at defensive end. A Minka Fitzpatrick, who you traded for in the offseason. If there are teams out there willing to give you draft capital for these pieces, do it. Do it. All right, now moving on. Let's go ahead and get to some college football. I did see this news today. It looks like Ole Miss is going to go with Trinidad Chambliss this weekend against Tulane. And Trinidad played really well against Arkansas. And I mean, he exceeded all the expectations I had in my mind of what he could be, because he comes from Ferris State. I know he's a national championship, but that's D2. You're lifting up to D1 in your final year of eligibility. And he was more of a runner than a thrower. I don't even think he averaged 200 yards per game throwing the ball when he was at Ferris State winning national titles. But he went 21 for 29, 353, one touchdown, ran the ball for 62 yards and two touchdowns. He was phenomenal last week. But this game against Tulane, I think, is a bit tricky. It is a bit tricky. And I'm not saying Austin Simmons would change it drastically, but I think Austin Simmons would definitely make it a little bit tougher on Tulane, in the sense that he's a lefty, it's a different look. He seems to be at least a little bit better from the pocket, although he hasn't shown that this year. I do think this, though. Looking back at last week, if you have paid attention to who Tulane just beat, they beat their former quarterback in Darian Mensah, right? And Darian Mensah, yeah, he can sling the ball from the pocket, but he can use his legs as well. I think the Trinidad Chambliss start and seeing that look this week for Tulane, after seeing Darian Mensah, I think that's a positive thing for Tulane, because I think they have very similar skill sets based on what we have seen from Trinidad Chambliss in just one game against Arkansas.
Feels like a pretty big game that I didn't necessarily expect to be this big. Like, I thought that Ole Miss was going to be able to roll in here and just take them down. I think that Tulane's a really good football team, but I think that Ole Miss, being an SEC team, they are a college football playoff contender, number 13 in the country. I do think that it's going to end up being a bit of a battle, though.
12-point spread on Saturday. I got to be honest with you. Based on what I've seen from Jake Retzlaff, based on what I know about John Sumrall being the defensive coach he is, I don't really understand why it's a full 12-point line. I guess being at Vaught Hemingway and what we saw from Ole Miss a couple of years ago when they beat Tulane, they beat the hell out of them. I get that. So maybe that's still on your mind. But I think this Tulane team is very, very good. And I think they will surprise some folks on Saturday. I'm not calling for a full-on upset. I think that the cover potential there of a 12-point line, though, should be on everybody's mind. Also,
did we underrate the quality of football in the American this season?
I think so. Absolutely. Rice is decent. I watched Rice handle business against Charlotte earlier in the season. I think they beat Houston. Like, this is a decent Rice team. They're showing me something. No, they beat Louisiana. But this is a decent Rice team. You look elsewhere. Temple is kind of surprising. I'm talking about teams outside of the norm. Like, we know Tulane, Memphis, Navy, they're going to be there. But outside of the normal, Rice has been solid. South Florida's been great. North Texas.
I mean, you have four 3-0 teams.
I don't know if you saw it last
week. And one 3-1 team.
I don't know if you saw it last week. North Texas at home beat Washington State 59-10.
Yeah.
Right? So, this conference, I know we say what we say about it on a constant basis in the offseason, but it has actually lived up and exceeded expectations through the early going. And Temple's even a decent ball team. They new staff altogether. Evan Simon at quarterback. I don't know if you've gotten to see him. 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions through 3 games. He's been playing well. So I do think that that is the case. I think the American Conference, it was very underrated coming into this season and they're exceeding expectations. Also this weekend, you're going to have Oklahoma and Auburn. I think really what this game comes down to me too is Oklahoma and Jackson Arnold, or Auburn and Jackson Arnold. It's kind of hard because it's, you know, revenge game, revenge spot. And Jackson Arnold was at Oklahoma last year. But Oklahoma's going to run a lot of man. Can Jackson Arnold, I know he's done a lot with his legs so far this year, can he pick apart their secondary throwing the football and make some plays downfield? Because here's the thing. John Mateer, he's shown me, just through his skill set, what he can do on schedule and off schedule, he's going to make plays on Auburn. Auburn has a decently stingy defense with some decent pieces, but I know that John Mateer is going to perform. He may make some mistakes with the football, and that could change the game. But I'm looking at Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold, can you make some plays with your arm that you haven't so far this year?
Do you think that Auburn could be a sneaky contender for the college football playoff this year, or do you think that they're just kind of peaking early and then their schedule gets a little bit more difficult in the weeks to come?
I think we need to wait till SEC wait till conference. Because, I think they'll be a thorn in everybody's side though. I think they are a tremendously talented team, but that doesn't mean I think they're going to spring upsets against Oklahoma and A&M and Georgia and Mizzou. You know what I mean?
And, like this hey, is hey hey and Vanderbilt. Yeah. Technically, it'd be an upset right now.
Sure, sure. But, like, I wait and see until they get into SEC play before I really make a full statement
about what I think about
them. But they're definitely – they're tremendously improved. They are absolutely improved. All right, now to the game that's going to be in town coming up tomorrow, 11 a.m., ABC, Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, Arkansas, Memphis. All right, we've said just about everything that can be said about this game. I just want to ask you, Connor – I want to gauge your temperature here, like we're going to do the listeners here in a second. How do you feel about the game? How do you feel like it's going to end? Who do you think's going to win? What do you think the keys are? But what truly do you feel about this game as we sit here on Friday?
I think it's going to be a good game. I don't know if Memphis has enough defensively to win the ball game. It's not the offense that I'm really worried about. I think that they're going to be able to run the football very well with Brendan Lewis and Sutton Smith. I'm not worried about that. Brendan Lewis's deep ball has me a little bit worried. I do think that you need to have some sort of explosive play through the air to free up the run game. What I'm worried about is them containing that quarterback. Yep. That is what worries me the most in this one. And I heard Jeffrey and company, they were talking about it earlier. I actually think for Memphis, if you can keep this more of a low-scoring game,
yes,
that's kind of the way to go here.
Yes.
And that's why if you can just run the ball down their throat over and over and over again, make this a physical game, keep him in the – just
Taylen Green in the pocket.
In the pocket. Don't let him run. Don't let that guy run. I think they'll have a shot. I don't expect Memphis to win this football game, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did. I think that the line makes a lot of sense. I think it's just teams don't come into the Liberty Bowl and win.
Yes.
That hasn't happened since like 2012 or 13, something like that. It's been a very long time since somebody came into the Liberty Bowl and beat Memphis. So I'm optimistic about the game. I don't think I know enough about this Memphis team to have real confidence that they'll be able to beat Arkansas.
I'm not overly optimistic about this game because I don't think it's a great matchup. Because I just look at the concerns on each side. Memphis's biggest concern, hands down, is the guy that has accounted for 1,173 yards of offense and 13 touchdowns through 3 games of Taylen Green. That's their biggest concern.
I mean, he's been so good.
And with that concern, you ask yourself, okay, what do I do as a defense to limit him? And really, the answer that I've come up with at this particular moment is, switch up your coverages, switch up your blitz packages, and hold on to your ass the whole game. That's basically what you have to do to deal with Taylen Green. And you have to hope that you can get him out of sync, get him off platform, get him, you know, this confident shot, make him throw a pick, make him turn the ball over. That's what you need to do. But those are things that are way easier said than done. Now, when you look at the Arkansas side, I would say their biggest concern with this game has nothing to do with Memphis's roster or what Memphis can bring to them. Memphis is a good team. They're capable of beating Arkansas. There's no doubt about it. But I think the biggest concern Arkansas should have is you have an emotional letdown off of that Ole Miss loss, and the next week you know you have to play Notre Dame at home. So it really is that trap game spot. So, like, while Memphis is focused on, oh, God, what do I do with their personnel? How do I contain this guy? Arkansas is more worried about emotions and being in this spot where you have an emotional letdown and it being a trap. I don't think there's anything in particular on Memphis's personnel like that really gives Arkansas a whole bunch of pause. Maybe Sutton Smith.
I think Sutton Smith
in his home run ability, but he's done that against some inferior competition, and I haven't really seen a full differentiation of run schemes that would really keep Arkansas from keying in on him. They've run a bunch of inside zone, just normal day one stuff against the competition they've played so far. If Arkansas is able to sit on that, I think they feel pretty good about that because they have some big dudes on the defensive line. Nobody under 260 pounds. They have a 387-pound defensive tackle.
Good Lord.
That's going to be really hard for Memphis to deal with.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't mean I don't think they'll be able to run the ball. I'm just saying when you look at Arkansas and their biggest concern about this team, I think it has to do more with the emotions than what Memphis can bring them.
Did Trinidad's performance against Arkansas last week give you any confidence that Brendan Lewis would be able to do something similar?
A tad bit. I think Trinidad has a little bit better arm than Brendan Lewis.
Yeah.
Based on what I saw, like he's got some zip behind his ball, and he was able to, you know, throw guys open. Arkansas is going to sit back there and man most of the time. So Brendan Lewis is going to have a chance with his wide receivers if they can create some separation to make something happen. But I think I referenced this earlier in the week. When you play a team that plays primarily man, you want a guy that you can target on a consistent basis. Rock Taylor was that guy last year. You have him in man coverage, one-on-one coverage. I can throw it up to him even if he's
going to catch it.
Well, he may not catch it, but I'm going to give him an opportunity because I feel comfortable about that. Right now, though, Memphis's best guy like that is probably Cortez Brahm, and he hasn't even been on campus for but 2 months. You know what I mean?
But they have chemistry.
They do have chemistry. They played together before, but that's where when you get a team that plays primarily man, you want somebody that I can always target. Third down, I'm seeing pressure. Who can I go to? I just don't know if Memphis has a consistent answer in the pass game when it comes to that.
If Memphis is able to win this football game, does it put them in the driver's seat for the college football playoff?
I think most people, well, we'll see what this Ole Miss Tulane game looks like. I think most people are leaning Tulane over Memphis at this moment. I think it puts them right where they're at right now, still on the short list. And once they play their in-conference opponents.
If Tulane loses, though, would they jump them? If Tulane wins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think everything can even itself out because they play each other.
Sure.
Right?
That's a good point.
So I think you're still on that short list. USF plays Memphis. Tulane plays Memphis. Like, everything can even itself out, even if Tulane were to lose a game and Memphis were to win this game. So there's that. Now, this is what I want to do. I want to open up the phone lines. You can start calling in right now. 901-445-0929 is the number. 901-445-0929 is the number. You're going to do exactly what Connor and I just did. I want a temperature check. I want Hogs fans to tune in, call in. I want Tiger fans to call in. Let us know how you feel about the game coming up this weekend. Where do you think this game is going to be won? I need to know the temperature here. 901-445-0929. We'll do that after this break. All right, so Connor and I have given all the thoughts we could possibly give out on the Memphis-Arkansas game tomorrow, 11 a.m., Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Also will be on ABC. I want to say thank you for the patience to the callers that have been waiting on the line, but the phone lines are open. We're doing a temp check. I want Hog fans, I want Tiger fans to let me know how you're feeling about the game tomorrow. Call in 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929, but we'll go ahead and lead this off. And this guy can't be outdone. Mike from Memphis is first. Mike, what's happening, brother? How are you?
What's up, Big Gabe? I am fired up.
I'm glad to hear it. How you feel about the game tomorrow? Let me know your thoughts.
Well, you know, it turns out that the Liberty Bowl is actually Death Valley for all the quote-unquote big boys.
Every September,
one of these slap nuts comes to town and falls on the ground, whether it be UCLA or Ole Miss or Boise State, whoever it is. They come to the M and they fall flat on their face, brother.
We don't run from smoke in the M, huh, Mike?
Oh, we want all the smoke.
Right up the chimney.
I think Trump going to have to send the National Guard to pick all the smoke hog up, you know?
I love it. You got a score prediction for me, Mike? Memphis by a million?
Hey, man. All right, so I took the money line, and I'm a smart gambler, so I also hedged my bet, and I took the spread. But I take the Tigers by at least four tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, Sutton Smith, he's faster than a piece of snot flying from a sneeze. We're trying to figure out who our number one wide receiver is. How about Mr. Top 10? Klutz, man, he's going to do a no-handed catch tomorrow. All right?
Why not?
And I'm bringing my uncle-in-law. He's a Hog fan, so I'm going to diplomacy tour, but it's gonna be a sad day for him, brother.
Yeah, I hear you. By the way, I hear mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, uncle-in-law. I don't usually hear all that often.
I mean, what do you say?
It's what he is. But
we need to set up that play date, neighbor. We need to let the little boys run around.
Of course, yes, sir. I hope you and your uncle-in-law have a good time.
Go Tigers!
All right, Mike. All right, moving right along, 901-445-0929 is the number. Let us know how you feel about Memphis, Arkansas. We have Chris here in East Memphis. Chris, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you feeling about the game tomorrow?
I feel great. The last game I went to was when we played Iowa State at the Liberty Bowl, for the Liberty Bowl, and I saw us win. So I feel like we always show up against a big competition, and it's going to be no different tomorrow.
You know what the number is? They're 5-0 against Power Conference opponents since 2014 in the Liberty Bowl in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
I mean, we're going to keep the streak alive. Tomorrow, we're going to go ahead and be 6-0.
There we go. I like the positivity. Appreciate it, Chris. Appreciate it,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Let's move right along. Number is 901-445-0929. Lee in Cordova. Lee, how's it going?
Hey, good. How you do?
I'm doing well. How you feel?
I'm feeling good. I'm a longtime Tiger. I think we're going to barbecue a hog tomorrow, home cooking. 21-14 Tigers.
Okay.
Gabe, question for you.
Of course.
Do you think the Tigers will pull some things out of the hat they have not shown in the first three games?
Oh, absolutely. I think in the run game especially. In the run game, they have really not shown a whole lot. They've run a bunch of inside zone, outside zone, normal concepts. I think you'll see a little more counter, maybe some power. You'll see more design runs for Brendan Lewis. I think they're going to do a lot more with the run game. All right, next, moving right along. Latrell, you're live on the Gabe Kuhn Show. How you doing?
What's up? Hey, man, I like that caller just called. Barbecue some hogs. Hey, man, the Tigers, they usually play big with big games. So I'm hoping that they can corral that quarterback, man, and make something happen. I think it's going to be some players from Memphis. They're going to step up and shine this game because it's a big game. And we're going to see who really big game players for those Tigers. The receiver that caught that one-hand catch, Klaus, hey, man, It's going to be some more guys doing it. I think the Tigers going to do it.
Hey, Latrell, it's Kloos. Okay. It's Kloos. We got to get that right. It's Kloos.
Okay,
not Klaus.
Kloos. All right, my bad.
Not Klaus. Appreciate it, Latrell. You know, everybody keeps saying we're going to the Tigers are going to barbecue some hogs. We do barbecue hog really well in this city, though. We do. Right. 901-445-0929 is the number. Have a couple of open phone lines. Want to check the temperature, how you feel about tomorrow's game. 901-445-0929. Right now is your chance. Connor and I have given you all the thoughts that we can. And how about this? How about this, Connor? I move him off the show because I want to talk some Memphis, Arkansas with John Neighbors. And he takes it respectfully every single time. But he's now tuned in to talk about Memphis, Arkansas. Parker Fleming. Parker, come on down. How you doing, brother?
How's it going?
Oh, well, it's going well.
Say, how about them Bills?
Oh, how about them Bills? Although playing the Dolphins should have been a bigger win. But
what? You're taking calls at the game. How does last week's performance against the Ole Miss that change anything of your projection or feeling about this week's Arkansas Memphis game?
I don't feel very good about Talen Green and his ability. I think Ole Miss's defense is much more talented than Memphis's. I think they have shown, especially with Pete Golding, who's now a $2 million man, that he can coach up defenses, and he still sliced them and diced them up. Talen Green did, threw for 300 yards. Ran for another 111 on 13 attempts. He averages 9 yards per carry. That scares the hell out of me, and I've been talking about it pretty consistently, Parker. But you got to see him last week. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, really just what you said. I was watching the game with two friends that went to Arkansas, and I just said between Green and their running back, who I can't remember, it's like Ole Miss couldn't stop the run.
Right.
And like you said, that's a very good defense too, and I don't know if I've seen anybody in the SEC here recently that has the legs that Green does.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for Memphis, they really got to control the run game. Because, I mean, I felt like their passing, like, it was okay. It was nothing special. But the run game, it felt like every time Green got loose, he was getting a first down.
You know, so, a stat that really bothers me going into this week is so far Talen Green is fourth in the SEC in rushing yards. Not quarterback rushing yards. Fourth.
That's wild.
That's tough. That's a tough scene. And you want to keep him in the pocket, but he can beat you from there, but you also don't want him to flush out of the pocket because he will kill you from there. He will put you to sleep from there. But Parker, you have a prediction?
You know what? It's really tough. I'm, you know, hometown Tiger, but my sister went to Arkansas, but I think we're going to get a thriller. I'm going to go 45-42 Memphis. They're going to light up the scoreboard.
So you think they, okay. All right. I love it, Parker. All right. Now I will say, I don't know if Memphis is going to win a shootout. So I don't know if I agree with Parker, but hey, anything's liable to happen, man, in the Liberty Bowl. That's how it works. 901-445-0929 is the number. And we have, how about this? How about this? Justin Lewis. Justin, how's it going, man?
What's up, Gabe?
Man.
I gotta follow Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You do. But hey, you can outdo him. Let's hear it. What you got?
Well, you know, I cover Ole Miss for Red Cup Rebellion over at SB Nation, so I was sweating last week's game against Arkansas. You know, I'm hearing these Memphis fans try to say 21-14. I text Connor. I'm like, 14? There's no way. Arkansas is insane on offense. I think what you said earlier, Memphis needs Arkansas to be overlooking them and being maybe on a letdown from last week, but then also looking forward to next week. Maybe I think you mentioned earlier in the week as well, the hamstring for Talen Green.
Yep.
Hope that's more than just cramps that he was experiencing
right.
Last week. I really think it's going to be more like a 42-48-28 type game, Arkansas, because Talen Green is nuts. If you keep him in the pocket, though, I think he's a little bit less accurate than when he gets out in space and is able to make decisions.
Justin, I was actually looking at some of his shot charts, if you will, his hot zones. He can really throw over the middle of the field and to the right side of the field. If you force him to throw left, it gets a little tricky there. But listen, I mean, that's game planning. on the Arkansas side. They'll probably keep him relatively comfortable. But he's just he's one of those guys where if you're a defensive coordinator and you're putting together a plan of attack, you don't really have an answer. You can add an extra rusher, but that could kill you if he beats the extra rusher. You could drop eight, but he can still beat you with his legs and his arm in that particular situation. It feels like the best plan of attack is mix up your coverages, mix up your blitz packages, try to time them up, be as aggressive as possible, but also in the end of the day, you just have to pray. I feel like you watched Ole Miss last week. That's kind of the answer they had.
That's what I was doing the whole time.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Justin, appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, thanks.
901-445-0929. We have some space for a couple more callers. 901-445-0929. Trying to get a temperature check on this Memphis-Arkansas game that will be played in Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium 11 a.m. tomorrow. Robert, you're on the Gabe Kuhn Show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good, Dave. Gabe, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, happy to be on. A big fan of you and Mr. Dunning over there.
Yeah.
And you guys already talked about the game, and you said it best. You know, you guys have said everything about the game that you could. I really hope Memphis pulls it out. It should be a good game. But I really called because I did want to say one thing.
Oh, gosh. I feel like something's about to happen.
And it's the thing that I think is the most important thing going on in sports right now. Okay. And that is the fact that the Los Angeles Chargers, baby, are 2-0 in the league.
This ain't Robert.
They are 2-0 in the division. And come this Sunday, when they play the Denver Broncos, they will be the number one team in the NFL. Nobody will be able to deny Justin Herbert, the early MVP front runner. We have a Keenan Allen, who they said came back to die, but looks very much alive. We have Joe Alt, delete, the number one offensive lineman in the league. And come this Sunday, the disrespect will stop. We will get the honor and the respect we deserve. So, Gabe, I've got one question for you. What do you think about the Los Angeles Chargers?
Oh, my gosh.
What you think. We are
All right, Robert. I feel like your name's Isaiah, but appreciate the call, brother. Appreciate the call, Robert. Robert.
Love you.
Yeah. Love you too, man. Connor, go on. We need to screen these calls, Ben. What's that about?
He got me. He called in, and it was this just kind, soft voice.
As soon as I heard the kind, soft voice, I knew something was up.
And he was like, because his name is actually Robert is his first name.
Oh, really?
And it didn't cross my mind that our phone line was going to be commandeered by Isaiah.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a great call, though.
Yeah, I guess
pretty
so.
Good WWE.
I mean, that was a hell of a promo.
Great promo. I got to send it to Jim Harbaugh. You should have asked him about the Jim Harbaugh thing that we talked about yesterday. Is he the greatest coach of all time?
We're taking Memphis, Arkansas calls right now. Shout out. But he did give us his Memphis, Arkansas take. He said he feels good about it. Although I don't know if that was sincere.
I think it was real.
You think it was sincere?
Yeah.
You sure? You positive?
It seems like Memphis fans are pretty optimistic based on the phone calls that we just got.
Yeah, absolutely. I certainly think that. But I also think part of it is it kind of feels like a free shot. Like, even if you lose this ball game, I think you came into the season with the idea that this was a possible loss, right? And if you lose it, everything's still out there in front of you, especially with the work the American Conference has done. If you have the sights set on college football playoff, a potential appearance there, a potential appearance in the American Conference Championship, you can lose this ball game and still accomplish those things. So I think for Memphis fans, there's that, and there's also the excitement, Connor. Can we be honest? Can we be completely honest? There's the excitement of having a localized, in the area, power conference team in town for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
Since Mississippi State.
It's been forever. It feels like it's been a very, very long time. I mean, I know one of the callers cited the Iowa State game. Glad that they're going to be back in the stadium as well. That is one thing that I've noticed around the city is that everybody I've been talking to, it sounds like it's going to be a great crowd.
It should be.
Obviously, you're
limited on seating because of the renovations. I understand that part of it. But I think it should be just about a sellout. I think I saw yesterday they were down to 4,000 tickets that were remaining.
That's great.
Those are probably going to get bought up relatively soon. And I'd imagine I think it holds about 35 right now, maybe a little bit more than that. So I think you're going to see 31, 32 plus.
I do have a question. Is this Arkansas team better or worse than the Florida State team last year? It feels like they're better, right? They're definitely better.
Is that a question?
Yes, it's a question.
Connor, come on. Come on.
I guess what I'm saying is
they're substantially better.
Substantially better.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's night and day. Now, defensively, I don't know. I mean, I guess defensively you could make the case that Florida State's defense had a little bit more talent and was a little bit better last year than this Arkansas defense this year, although we don't have the full picture of what this defense is. They have some talented guys that they brought in from the transfer portal. Maybe they're still learning along the way, but the secondary got beat up by Trinidad Chambliss last week. There's some concern there. So you can make the case that defensively, maybe this team's a little bit worse than that Florida State team.
I just got a very important update from a listener.
But real quick.
Okay.
Offensively, it is not even in the same realm.
No.
It's just...
DJ's not as good as Taylor.
That Florida State offense last year was dreadful. One of the most dreadful offenses I've seen from a Power 4 team, especially a brand like that in years and years and years. So this Arkansas team is better than Florida State last year, but I think a lot of that has to do with Taylor Green and this offense just being so far relatively unstoppable.
I got a very important update from a listener. 2,000 tickets now remain.
2,000 tickets remain.
That's awesome.
So I think if we're on pace with 4,000 yesterday, 2,000 sold overnight, we have another night to sell them. Maybe we get to a full sellout by the time we get to game time.
You're telling me there's a chance.
I will say this. I will be attending as a fan as I normally do. I hope they fix the gate situation.
So did you see the social media post that they put out? They're going to have more water there. They're going to have more gate attendance to make sure it flows better.
Yes.
They listened to the complaints from that game, and it seems like they're making the proper changes and they're putting the proper things in place to make it a better experience for everybody.
It was just kind of funny, like, seeing some of the obviously they're doing their job. Jason Munns, the commercial appeal, took a picture like 5 minutes before game time, like, oh, oof.
Yeah.
Oof, this is ugly. And then 10 minutes after the game started, he takes another picture and he goes, okay, that makes more sense.
So here's they put out a graphic. Gabe, this is a graphic.
Graphic.
Graphic time. You spoke, we listen. Increased presence for faster gate access. 10 times more water bottles available.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the chat game, additional bathrooms across parking lots at Tiger Lane. Parking access has been readjusted to original configuration, and additional shuttles will be running from campus to Simmons Bank, Liberty Stadium. Thank you, Tiger Nation.
Okay. So everybody can be in their seat when the ball is kicked off. That seems like a positive thing.
Right. We didn't get a call from an Arkansas fan. Are they scared?
I don't know. Well, we'll talk to an Arkansas
supporter.
Supporter. And I think he's a fan as well. John Neighbors later. So we'll get that angle. We'll get that angle. But I appreciate everybody's calls. Great stuff. Feels like Memphis fans are feeling relatively positively about what they're going to see this weekend. And
we got some Chargers takes.
Good God. Like, I just knew it. As soon as I heard the tone of voice and the inflection of voice, I'm like, that person's changing their voice to come on the air.
It was one of those things where as soon as he started speaking, I was like, oh, no. I knew it.
I looked at you. We both made eye contact. I'm like, he's about to throw this into a different gear.
He hit you with
second.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Yeah, I was about to answer, too. He got me. Shout out our guy Isaiah, man. All right, now let's go ahead and get into hour number two. David Cobb will lead us off from CBS Sports. Let's talk some college football.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.